Joshua chapter 1, if you'll turn there, please. Joshua chapter 1. I'll begin reading in verse number 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives and little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord God your God giveth them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising." And they answered Joshua, "All that thou commandest we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest we will go, according we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be thou strong and of good courage." Turn over to Joshua chapter 3, verse number 1. 3 days have passed by the time you get to Joshua 3. Joshua rose early in the morning, and he removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. Now in verse 17, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were clean over Jordan." Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we're thankful for you adding in your word the obedience of Joshua and the people of God. Father, we're thankful that we can read the story and gain insight, and you can increase our faith. Thank you for being with them, protecting them, guiding them each step of the way. Lord, may we also remember that you'll do that for us if we simply obey. So, Lord, I pray, use the message, challenge our hearts, speak especially to the young people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you read Joshua 1, 1 through 9, you'll find that God chose Joshua to lead the people of Israel to the land that flowed with milk and honey. To do so, there were four things that he needed. We preached on this a couple of weeks ago. He needed to recognize the purpose of God. Purpose of God in the past. Moses is dead. Now Joshua, take up the cause and lead these people over to Jordan. So he recognizes his purpose in the past and in the present. And then he received faith in the promises of God. God promised a land. He knew it. It was there for the taking. And then he had to realize the presence of God in his life. God said, "I will be with you." And then he had to rely on the power of God. Be strong and of good courage. These four things need to be in our lives if we're going to walk with God and move ahead with God. If we intend to accomplish the will of God for our life the way God desires us to, we must too have these four essentials. They're not cheap, by the way. Sometimes they're very difficult. Now Israel's moving ahead, not just some of them, but all the people. They're on the move. It's a picture of people walking by faith. It's a picture of the believers growing in the Christian life. Let me ask you a question. Since last January, have you grown in spiritual depth? Or are you about the same? Are you accomplishing the will of God for your life? Are you moving ahead with the Lord? You know, I walk down the hallways of the school sometime and I'll see a young person. This is true with the elementary kids. They're so little. But something happens to them over the years. I might say they're little and 99% of them are as cute as can be. Now that's the grandfather speaking, I know. But then something happens. Before you know it, they're 6 foot tall. And their cuteness is totally gone. How about our spiritual growth? Are there things in your life that used to be that are changed? What needs to be changed in your life? Write them down so next January when I ask you this question, you can remember, this is what needed to change in my life. And over the course of the year, God has helped me change that. Now tonight, I would have you see three things which we will learn some lessons from as we move ahead with the Lord. They're all on the move. First of all, the challenge to the people, and there's a challenge to preparation. Now, young people, listen to me carefully. Some of you love school, some of you absolutely hate it. I won't ask who. But this is your preparation. I remember when I was going out for the golf team. I was a freshman in high school. In Illinois, the golf season, they never played it in the fall. I don't know why. They should have. They always played it in the spring. And it doesn't get warm up there until April. You don't see green grass until the 1st of April. And then it could always snow later. And so what the coach did, he started the golf team in February. And you know what we did? We lifted weights. Something I just really enjoy. We ran laps. I thought, what in the world are we doing? I mean, back then they didn't have this new fangled nighttime golf with the big net and all of that kind of thing. How many of you been there? Anybody been there? Roger hasn't, I know. Preparation. I asked the coach, why are we doing this? He says, preparation. I said, preparation. He had us taking a rope and a stick. And on the stick, he put a 5-pound weight. And you had to roll it up like this. And then you had to roll it down like this. And then you had to roll it up like this. And then you had to roll it down like this. I'm thinking, what are we doing? He said, preparation. That does something to you. It builds these muscles that mine are all gone, but these builds these all muscles right here, which helps you hit the ball farther. Preparation. You don't like it, but it's there. He challenges the people to prepare. He says, you got 3 days to get ready. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years. And now 3 days, they're going to cross Jordan. The Jordan River was still in flood stage. The Jordan River, on the other side were the giants. On the other side were the walled cities. And Joshua tells the people, get ready to go into the land and claim the land. The process of getting prepared didn't start with Joshua. It started way back when Moses sent the 12 spies in. 10 of them came back, gave a bad report, discouraged the people, and angered God, so he sent them out into the wilderness. For 40 years, they learned to depend on the Lord. 40 is the number of judgment in the Bible. For 40 years, they watched God work. For 40 years, they watched God provide. For 40 years, they watched him protect them. And now they were almost ready. But they faced the same flooding river. They faced the same inhabitants, only now there are more of them. They faced the same cities, bigger, larger, more difficult to take. Here's the principle. Fail to move when God says, and eventually he'll bring you back to almost the identical problems. Got a little book, you ought to get it. It's called The Moses Principle. It takes the people of Israel from Kadesh Barnea out to the wilderness and comes back right around to the same problems they had 40 years earlier. And we face them over and over and over. And if we fail the second time, we'll take right back to the wilderness and we'll go around in circles and we'll come right back to the same problems. Learn how to deal with the problems. Learn how to trust God. Now they're almost ready. And God told them to prepare some food. Isn't that something? 3 days' time, you're going to need food. Why? Because the manna is going to stop. Manna is desert food. It's wilderness rations. God told them he'd give them manna. 6 days straight, double on the sixth day, and on the seventh day on the Sabbath day they would have double portion from the day before, so they could have food on the Sabbath. Exodus 16. Now they're going to the land that flows with milk and honey. Now they're going to have something better. What had worked in the wilderness doesn't work in the land of blessing. And so here's another principle. Before we can enter the land of blessing, we have to be prepared for the land. If we would walk in the blessing of Almighty God, the way that the way we live has to change from the wilderness wanderings to walking in the land of blessing. We have to learn how to handle the blessing. The things we feed on must change. The entire scope of our lives must change. This is one of the reasons we fail as believers to have victory in our life, because of the simple refusal to change our ways. You know, I know Christians that have been the same as they were 30 years ago. They have exactly the same problems. They go through exactly the same prayer requests. What happens to us? We fail to make the adjustment to spiritual victory. Finish this verse. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. There's a change. Romans 6 and verse number 4. Therefore we're buried with him in baptism unto death, and like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That word newness is the change word. It means we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We don't walk by the temporal, we walk by the eternal. There is a difference. Eternal viewpoint, God's viewpoint. And it's demonstrated when Paul wrote the church at Colossae, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Too many Christians today are seeking things of the earth. Seek things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead. Literally, you died. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Listen to it. Mortify therefore, here's the change, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he lists them: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God that cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man and his deeds, and you put on the new man, newly born. It's the word as a newborn baby, which is renewed. Same word of newness. You're renewed. You have now eternal viewpoint in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Let me ask you, what is it in your life, my life, that hinders us from enjoying the blessings of God? I mean the real blessings of God. Challenge to prepare. You got 3 days, people, to get ready to go into the land. And then there's the challenge to possess the land. Verse 11, the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. Joshua's well aware of the promise of God. Now he reviews it with his officers, some of the people. By the way, one of the ways you persevere in your Christian walk when everything seems to be falling apart around you is review the promises of God. God promised Joshua to be a conqueror in verse 5. He promised him to have comfort in verse 5. He promised him to have companionship in verse 9. I'm going to be with you. He promised Joshua conquest in verse 8. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Promises bring hope. Promises bring confidence. Promises give vision for the future. We ought to meditate on the promises of God. Get Lockyer's book on all the promises of the Word of God. Somebody wrote a book, 5,400 and some promises in God's Word. Challenge to prepare. Challenge to possess. And then there's a challenge for the plan, verse 11, for 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. Now remember, he's talking to the people now. The people had to have faith because it was flood stage. Children of Anak were on the other side. Walled cities are on the other side. Joshua doesn't, if anyone said, well, wait a minute, Joshua, he doesn't even acknowledge it. He says, you're going to go in 3 days. By the way, 3 days is a glorious picture of resurrection. 3 days is a glorious picture of passing from death to life. The ways of death were in the wilderness. That's where all of those that were above 20 years old that didn't want to go in the land before died off. Promised land's the way of life. Folks, most of us are born again in this place. If we're born again, we're on resurrection ground. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You've passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. Here's a principle for you. A believer will not walk on resurrection ground until he's settled the glorious fact in his mind that he's on resurrection ground. You won't be able to do anything for the Lord until you settle the fact that you're born again and have that assurance that you're born again. You'll always wonder, and the devil will have his thumb on you the rest of your life until you get it settled. So what do? We get the matter settled. If you're wondering if you're really born again, get it settled. Challenge to the people. Then I see a confrontation with the people. If we're going to move on, those things that we have promised in the past or that we've agreed to in the past, they got to be taken care of. Look at verse 12. And of the Reubenites, the Gadites, half tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the words of Moses, the servant of the Lord, he commanded you. We won't take time to read it. What happened was these 2.5 tribes wanted to, they saw some land that was good for cattle on the other side of, on the east side of Jordan. Said, don't take us in the land, Moses. If we found grace in your sight, give us this for an inheritance. Give us this land. And Joshua is now reminding them of that. And Moses reminded them, whoa, wait a minute. You can have the land, but wait a minute. You're going to go in and fight the battles with the rest of the men. And when they get their land, then you can go back and enjoy your land. He confronts these people. You know, a lot of people don't like confrontation. You ever been driving down a road and you see those blue lights behind you? You don't like confrontation. Not that way. Some people do. I find that those people that usually love confrontation are basically argumentative in spirit. But like it or not, sometimes confrontation is necessary. And in this text, it's necessary. Notice three things. The reminder to the people. Verse 13. Remember the word which Moses thy servant, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Bring it back to your mind. Why would Joshua bring this up? Because Moses gave a command in Numbers 32. The Reubenites, Gadites, half tribe of Manasseh, requested to stay on the east side of Jordan to raise their families there. They saw it was good for cattle. Verse number 5 is the request. Wherefore, if they said, if we found grace in thy sight, let this land be given to thy servants as a possession. Bring us not over Jordan. The response, Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and you sit here? Here's the reasoning. Wherefore you discourage the heart of the children of God. Now I'm going somewhere with this. And from going over to the land which the Lord giveth them. This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea. Here we go again. Same problem. 10 of the spies did not want to walk by faith. They wanted to walk by sight. They had the fruit of the land and they said, whoa, we're too puny. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We're not going to be able to take it. Caleb, Joshua, said if God's for us, we're well able to take it. The Lord's anger is kindled, verse 10. Same time he swore unto them, surely none of the men came out of Egypt 20 years old and up. This is all in Numbers 32, by the way. Because they have not followed me wholly. What happened to them? Listen to me. Forfeited blessings. Because they would not follow. They forfeited blessing. The very theme of the book of Joshua, unreserved obedience is the condition of God putting forth his power against the enemies in your life. The reminder of the people. And then the requirement for the people, your wives and little ones, verse 14 of Joshua 1, your wives and your little ones, your cattle remain in the land, Moses will on the side of the Jordan, but ye shall pass over, the mighty men of valor. You'll notice the principle of battle. The women didn't go. The men went. It's wonderful to have ladies in our church. My. Now let me tell you something. It's not that women couldn't fight the battle. It's not that they couldn't figure out how to win. They could probably do that better than we could as men. They talk faster. They multitask. How many of you ladies multitask? Put your hands up. That's just about everybody. How many of you guys like to take one thing and get it done and put it away so you don't have to remember it anymore? Huh? That's me. That's most of us. God made us totally different. But when God said go to battle, he said the men do it, not the women. And when the reverse happens, the man isn't happy and women aren't happy. It's God's design, according to the text. You want to move ahead with the Lord? We men better take heed how to deal with our responsibilities when it comes to spiritual warfare. We better take heed about how and what the Lord would use in our lives if we cast a deaf ear to God's word. We start listening to what everybody else says. We'll miss the will of God. The reminder, the requirement. And then notice the rest in verse 15. Ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it. 10 verses in the Word of God use the word enjoy. There are 4 Hebrew words that translate enjoy. One of them means to wear out. Talks about working. One of them is the word which means to look upon completed work. One of them means to satisfy. It's a worship word. To enjoy the Lord's presence. To enjoy the songs of Israel. But this word is to take possession, to rest upon that which you own. What a principle. God says this, Israel, get over and take the land. You own it. Oh, I wish I had a map of what Israel is like. Picture the Middle East. Israel goes in Syria from the river Euphrates all the way down past Lebanon and through Lebanon, parts of Lebanon, all the way down almost to Egypt. And one day, they'll have all of it. They own it. It's a gift and promise of God. Now understand something. On the other side of Jordan, they didn't own it. That's wilderness country. Right near Jordan, nice green grass. Well-watered plains. And Gad, Reuben, half the tribe of Manasseh saw that and said, man, that's what we want. We don't need to be in the land. And here's where a lot of Christians are. I'll take second best as long as I don't have to do anything for it. As long as I don't have to sacrifice. I'll be satisfied. Forfeit some of the blessings. When the enemies of God came, Gad, Reuben, half the tribe of Manasseh were the first to go. Second best usually comes as we walk by sight, not by faith. Second best usually comes when we get tired of the pathway of God. Don't take second best, young person. In your vocation, in your education, in who you think you're in love with, don't take second best. The challenge to the people, the confrontation with the people. And then notice the commitment of the people. I love this. The commitment to obey. Now listen to it. The people say this. This is Gad, Reuben, half tribe of Manasseh. All that thou commandest, we will do. Wheresoever thou sendest, we will go. Now remember, just as we obeyed Moses. How well did they obey Moses? Huh? See, there's still people. They had some problems with Moses. Moses said, this is what we're going to do. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram stood up and said, no, that's not what we're going to do. Moses, you take too much upon yourself to see the whole congregation is holy. Moses went to the Lord. And God said, separate those people, their families, their possessions. So he did. This is how easy God can take care of a problem. Opened the earth, slammed it shut. They were gone. Their kids, all their possessions. So Moses had some problems with the people. But here they're committed to obey. And then they're committed to submit to authority. As we hearkened unto Moses, in all things they said, so we'll hearken unto thee. And then there's a commitment to encourage leadership. Oh, I love this. And they said to Joshua, only be thou strong and of good courage. You know what they're saying? We're with you, Joshua. We'll go with you into battle. We'll follow you into the battle. We'll take care of the land. And then we'll come back and we will rest in what we own on the other side of Jordan. You know, we need to learn that principle, folks. Instead of being so me-centered, look out amongst you. Who can you encourage? We don't really know what the other person or family is going through or why they're going through. And we don't really need to know. They may be out of fellowship with the Lord. They may be ready to make a good decision for the Lord and are under attack by Satan. They may be battling great spiritual battles. So what am I saying? I'm saying be very careful what you say and how you say it. Try to think before you talk. James says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Paul says, speak the truth, but speak it in love. Let that which comes out of our lips be that which would edify someone, encourage someone. I read about a guy who went to his front door one day and to get his newspaper, and to his surprise, there was a dog there with the newspaper in his mouth. Cute little dog. Man closed the door, went back in, got some doggy treats and came back. Opened the door, dog still there, a little tail wagging. He reached out, gave the dog a treat. The dog dropped the paper. The guy picked the paper up, gave the dog the treat. Closed the door. Next morning he got up, went to the door. The dog was there again. Just wagging his tail. The guy says to his surprise, there were 8 newspapers laying there. He says he spent the whole morning trying to find out which neighbors that dog took the newspapers. Encouragement. That's what he was doing to the dog. Somebody said, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me, I may not like you. Ignore me, I may not forgive you. Encourage me, I will never forget you. Barnabas was the great encourager. Barnabas was one who encouraged John Mark when he quit the ministry. And later, John Mark got back in the ministry. Moving ahead with the Lord, folks, isn't easy. But it's possible if we obey the Lord and walk by faith. And as we walk, let's not walk with our nose stuck in the air. Let's walk with the understanding we're people. Somebody needs encouragement around you. Somebody needs a helping hand. One of my goals this year is try to encourage one person a day. Now this morning when I got up, I mean it was a beautiful morning, just, I mean, the clouds in the east were glowing in orange, and it was just a gorgeous, gorgeous morning. I drove down to Atlanta Bread, and they have a nice little breakfast sandwich I get. And there was a little lady sitting across, and she was well into her 80s. She was all dressed up, and of course I went in with my suit on, and she says, "Are you going to church?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Do you have a good preacher?" How do you answer that one? I said, "Ma'am, I am the preacher." And I said, "You look like you're going to church." "Yes, sir, I'm going to the early service." She says, "Because the late service has all that wild music in it, and I can't stand it." I said, "Well, ma'am, remember, Jesus is coming soon." She says, "You know, that's right." She says, "I always forget that when I'm trying to get ready. My old body just doesn't work like it used to work." And I said, "Well, you have a wonderful day." She says, "You've encouraged me. Jesus is coming soon." I got to memorize that verse. Jesus is coming soon. And she went out and got in her Lexus and drove away. Encourage someone today. Encourage someone tomorrow. Let's be a praying and an encouraging church. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, for these folks in Joshua's day that encouraged their leader. God, I pray we'd have a mindset to help one another, to encourage one another. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask you a couple of questions. How far have you entered into the possessions of Christ, into the blessing of God? Are you satisfied with it? I hope not. He has more for us. Which side of the river are you on? You on the wilderness side, living by sight, not by faith? Are you on resurrection ground? What's your attitude toward the will of God? Will you trust Him even when there's insurmountable obstacles in the way? Are you moving ahead with the Lord? These people in our text were. They finally had enough of the wilderness wanderings. It's time to get up and move ahead with God. And they all answered Joshua, "All that you command us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest, we will go." Perhaps the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. You say, "Preacher, I've got a need in my life. I'd like you to remember me in prayer." Would you slip your hand up right now? Let me pray for you. Yes, I see that. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. Others? Yes. God bless you. Others? Let's stand. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Organist and pianist going to play through "Have Thine Own Way." Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. May it be true in our lives tonight. I'm going to pray. They're going to play. If God spoke to your heart, we invite you to come. Maybe it's for baptism, church membership, whatever the need the Lord's put on your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and grace to us. Lord, when we wander away from you, we become self-centered and selfish, jerk our chain, I pray. Help us to see the importance of this matter of encouragement as we move ahead with you. Father, I pray for the many hands tonight that you'd meet needs. Now bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God spoke to your heart, we invite you to come.